Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Voracek trying to get over here to keep it in the zone and does. And the high slot straight over to Giroux with a one-timer. He scores! Claude Giroux wins it in overtime. And the Flyers come all the way back and beat the Bruins 5-4.
Doesn't sound like Doc Emmerich or anybody from NBC. I don't know. Could be wrong there. Welcome back. It was the NBC Sports Rivalry Night. That's what Pierre McGuire was doing last night. The Bruins had what appeared to be a pretty safe lead in the third period. Not so safe, as it turned out. With Mitch Gallo, Jay Farrar in for Rod Francis, who's recovering from the election. David Trentadue is here helping us out. Coming up at 5:35, Mr. John Thorne. He is the official historian for Major League Baseball. He will join us in less than 30 minutes from now on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Pierre McGuire on TSN 690 is brought to you by the Dagwood Sandwich Experience. Top quality meats and cheeses, freshly baked bread, veggies in special sauce. Dagwood's, a Montreal original for over 25 years.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Very well, Mitch. Good afternoon to you.
All right. Claude Julien used the word unacceptable, and he used the word light when I think he kind of meant soft.
Well, in the first period of the game, in the second TV timeout, I interviewed Claude, and I asked him one question about being a coach with such a different team than what he's used to, and does he have to change the way he coaches or approaches a game? And his answer was pretty significant. Well, we need to be a little bit more patient. And so I think that that speaks to what you're talking about. I think that's a very valid point in that, listen, it's they're not the same Bruins. Sean Thornton's not there anymore. Gregory Campbell's not there anymore. Danny Pyatt's not there anymore. Jerome McGinley's not there anymore. Milan Lucic isn't there anymore. It's just a different team. And they don't have nearly the same thump as they used to have.
I know he talked specifically. He seemed frustrated talking about it. I know it was a frustrating way to lose a hockey game, but he was frustrated afterwards talking about specifically these flybys, you know, where guys would go into a scrum in the past and fight for the puck, and now they just kind of turn and head in another direction.
It's going to be a fun day of practice, I can tell you that. I wish I could have stayed. I left right after the game last night to come home because I had some things I had to do around here for hockey, getting ready for next week when I got a real crazy schedule. But I can tell you that, you know, they move on. They went to Long Island today. They're playing the Islanders tomorrow. And I have to think that today's practice was a lot of live fire stuff. He's not going to let these guys off the hook.
We've talked a lot about goaltending, good and bad, in the early part of the season, and I know it's a different team in front of him, but Tuukka Rask is not bailing them out.
I didn't think he was great last night. I really didn't. I thought there were some real nice saves, but by and large, I did not think he was great, especially on the Wayne Simmonds goal. And listen, Wayne Simmonds hadn't scored a goal all year long, and he snapped that one off, right shot coming down the left side, put it high glove side on the far side of the net. But I thought Tuukka was off the angle. I thought he was trying to protect short side. Part of that is because he got beat short side earlier in the game by Sami Gagné from virtually the same spot. So he overcommitted to the short side. I didn't like the goal. And, you know, again, he's got to be better. There's no other way to sugar. And these are guys that I really respect. I've known them a long time. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. He's got to be better, and a few other guys there have to be better.
Pierre, I'm not picking on anybody here because you know I like these type of players. But when I see Ryan White getting 15 minutes of ice time, nearly 15 minutes of ice time, and Vinny LeCavalier can't get into the lineup, does that say more about Ryan White or Vinny at this point?
Vinny's struggling. I watched him practice last week, and just now again, I don't know. There could be an injury or a tweak situation, but there wasn't a lot of pace in his practice. Now, again, he's been at this a long time, so maybe it's one of those where you don't expect to see a lot of pace, but if you're fighting to get in the lineup, you're going to want to show some pace. The one thing I would say about Philadelphia, I like the aggressive approach from the coach in terms of how he manages his bench, and it's not so much about matchups. It's about getting the right guys on the ice. If they're going, he gets them on there. If they're not going, he gets them off of there. I'll give you a case in point, a terrible second period for his team. And the one thing he's had, knowing that he could count on offensively, was Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek, along with Michael Raffle. That's his top line. Well, he breaks it up because they had nothing going on, and he takes Voracek off and puts Simmonds on, and not for a long time, but for a few shifts. and it got Voracek real angry. Simmons scored a goal, and Voracek got two assists. So I give the guy a lot of credit. I mean, that's aggressive coaching. That's a good job of managing his bench.
Well, at least you had a bunch of goals, because there weren't many in the other games combined around the NHL right. last night.
Well, goalies are bigger. I'm more about scoring chances than the goals. I know exactly what you're talking about, by the way. I don't know how much of the Carolina-Colorado game you watched.
None.
Well, I was sitting in the car watching it, and I got to tell you, Cam Ward played out of his mind. Out of his mind, and the save he makes on Duchesne late in the game is phenomenal. The save he makes at the beginning of overtime against Jerome Iginla on a breakaway is pretty darn special, too. But there were probably 8 or 9 10-bell saves that he made in that game last night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a 1-0 game, but it was full of chances. It really was.
Yakupov. Nice little bounce pass to Pouliot. Moving in with McDavid. Pouliot to McDavid.
That was pretty, and I know it's mostly the kid, but that trio, whether it's because of him or all three of them, they deserve some credit. Right now, they got it going on. McDavid, Yakupov, and Benoit Pouliot.
No, it was fun. Brad Richards didn't think it was fun. He's number 17 for Detroit now. I don't think he enjoyed looking at Connor McDavid go blowing right by him. But, again, that's something that that's going to happen to a lot of guys in the league. Connor's just that quick. And you see the goal that he scored, when he's in tight, the quickness of his hands, that's how he scored in junior a ton, and he doesn't get enough credit for that. He goes to the front of the net, but he also has a skill level of finish plays off. He's just so darn quick down there.
Pierre, for me, watching him last night, it's his ability to stop and start. Like, he'll be gliding, and then three steps, and he could elude anybody because of how quick his acceleration is for
good
an 18-year-old.
It's really a good point. Scouts look at that all the time. Some scouts call it just a high engine. Other guys call it great two-step acceleration. You know, everybody's got their own terminology for it, but that's exactly right. Change of pace, some guys call it. But he is really elusive. I would say he, as he gets more and more comfortable, Mitch Gallo in the NHL, he's going to become a master of deception. He's going to be very, very difficult to match up on.
A lot of times, coaches can only do so much. They put together a good plan for you to win. They know when guys aren't going. They try to get them going. But in this locker room is the major part of it. You know, when you got great leaders that know the right things to say at the right times and go out there and lead by example, it's just contagious in the locker room.
That is Tom Gilbert, who's been around the league for a while. Pierre, some interesting comments in relation to the new captain of the Montreal Canadiens and the rest of the guys on that team who wear letters. You said something last week that really raised a lot of eyebrows when you compared the human qualities, not the player necessarily, not the captain necessarily, but the human qualities of Max Pacioretty and Jonathan Toews.
No, there are a lot of similarities. I know both guys really well. Very intelligent, care about their teammates, challenge one another in terms of teammates, challenge themselves, lead by example, have a genuine respect for the game, have a genuine respect for people. So, no, there's a lot of similarities, a lot of them.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, and we're a team wants to use speed to provoke a lot of things on the ice, provoke turnovers, and he's a smart player with a lot of speed, so that's why I believe that it's a good fit.
Talking specifically there about Brian Flynn, and more people are waking up to the fact that the Canadiens have a really good fourth line that can push the pace. You're chuckling.
Well, because we talked about this when they got them last year. They're good players. They just don't have big names. They're good players.
How many more teams, as a result specifically of what the Canadiens are doing and where the league has gone, and I know John Scott. Where is John Scott? He's out there. Somebody signed John Scott this year.
Is it San Jose again?
San Jose, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too.
No, that was last year.
I thought he went back there.
He went back to wherever. I don't know if he's played yet, but I don't know why. But, I mean, the future, you know, to take off on a theme from yesterday, back to the future. I mean, it's pretty apparent, right? It's pretty apparent what's going on in the league in terms of teams. If teams do not have a fourth line that can eat up meaningful minutes and not just try to drag the game into the gutter, they're not going to go very far.
No, I agree. This is something that's been coming ever since 2005. one of the reasons why Chicago has been so successful is they were enlightened probably as early as anybody. Part of what they did is they copied Detroit for so long, and they were wise to do that. They were in the same division for the longest period of time until we had realignment. But I give so much credit to what they – first it was Dale Tallon, then it was Stan Bowman, and then obviously Scotty there helping them. But I think the Chicago model is something a lot of people are trying to copy. It's not easy. You know, it's hard to get players like Taze. It's hard to get players like Keith. It's hard to get players like Kane. It's hard to get players like Hossa. But they've found a way to do it and keep their better players, and I think a lot of teams are trying to do the same thing.
I heard a lot of good things. I saw him play a few times on with the Sabres on TV, and looking forward to see a young player like that. And we're going to see next week McDavid. So it's always fun to see those young kid having an impact with their team. And you heard a lot of good things about them. And tomorrow, that's going to be a first line.
All right. So
it's not that much fun if he's lighting you up.
Their first look, and we'll get into the Canadiens and Sabres in depth a little more tomorrow, prior to the game in Buffalo tomorrow night. But overall, Pierre, you know, we're 2 weeks. This is, you know, we just passed the 2 week mark of the NHL season. What specifically, other than the Habs, who are clearly one of the big stories, maybe the biggest story in the league to start the season, what's really caught your eye here?
Columbus, the Tortorella experiment. This is going to be interesting to watch. It really is. I think it's going to be interesting. The young players in the league, you know, and everybody's focusing in on Eichel and McDavid. I told you about Dylan Larkin. He's doing great things. How about, you know, Duclair and Domi out in the desert? They're doing great things. Noah Hanifin down in Carolina is playing very well for a young defenseman in the league. So I think the young kids are huge. Panarin in Chicago is another great young one. The young players are a huge story, the influence of the young players in the league. The tough starts, a lot of teams started the season 0-3. A lot of them. You know, you've got one that's hasn't won a game yet in Columbus. I mean, so I think that's a huge story. But if you were to ask me the best story in the league so far, not because I'm on Montreal radio, it would be the Montreal Canadiens.
And you clearly this is going to end. It may end tomorrow night. Mike Condon's getting the start in goal for the Montreal Canadiens. But you don't – or do you see a team that will remain among the elite teams, barring significant injury, all year?
Talking about Montreal?
Yeah.
Well, I see them being an elite team just because of the infrastructure. Now, obviously, you get a lot of injuries, and then things change a little bit. But the thing that I was concerned about with them, and I will tell you, until we get to the 40-game mark, I'll still be concerned. Ability to score 5-on-5 goals. I want to see it with consistency. So far, so good. Defensively, I've not been concerned about them. Obviously, you don't get concerned about them in goal, but just scoring with enough consistency 5-on-5. And if they get to the 40-game mark and they've shown that they can, you know, score the way they have the first seven, then that's going to be great. And I'll be like, this team's legit good.
Yeah. I guess the only question marks we have about the playoffs will be answered in the playoffs.
No, but you know what? You can set the template for playoff success by the way you play. I mean, I think one of the things that's going to carry this team for a long time, the disappointment of the Tampa series. I don't think they really liked the way that thing went down. And so I think that helps them going forward. I really do. I think it helps Montreal. Just like Montreal wiping Tampa out the year before helped Tampa.
Right.
I think this year that helps Montreal.
Yeah, I think even those who thought Tampa would win, and I'm among them, when it was 3-0, that really wasn't a 3-0 series at the time.
No, I agree. That's really well said. I agree with that. That's the one thing to watch for is just how stimulated they are going forward. Again, it's so long. We're not even 10 games into the season. But
American Thanksgiving, right?
That's usually about the time.
All right, John Tortorella makes his debut for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and it's against a pretty good team, the Minnesota Wild. What can we see anything noticeable this quickly?
Well, he'll try to protect the house. He'll have guys collapsing down. If I were Minnesota, I'd be working on my point shots a lot in practice and just trying to find a way to get pucks through because they'll protect the house tonight. That'll be a big part of his plan. They'll be shot blocking all over. They won't be able to have a lot of set face-off plays. They won't be able to really change a lot of their neutral zone, but they can change their end zone a lot. And one of the things you'll see is you'll see a lot of sweaters backing down, a lot of light sweaters backing down in front of the goalie.
Pierre, Chicago takes on the Panthers tonight. I know we didn't get to this yesterday. It was a big story, the fact that Duncan Keith is going to be out for 6 weeks. And, you know, last year in the playoffs, we saw how heavily they relied on their top four, especially Keith and Seabrook. How big a loss is this for Chicago in the next 6 weeks?
Oh, it's a huge loss. But one of the things is, and losing Johnny Oduya to free agency, I mean, that's not talked about enough. Johnny Oduya is a very good player, and he's one of the big three there. So this is where Jalmerson and in particular Seabrook have to really elevate. Trevor Daley comes over. He's a proven player. He's 30 years of age, had a record offensive year last year at Dallas for goals scored. So he'll be important for him. He'll get elevated minutes. Trevor Van Riemsdyk will get elevated minutes. That'll be good. I think Roosevelt's pretty close to coming back. He's not a kid. He's almost 40 years of age. I think he's 37 or 38. And then you'll see them slot in David Rundblad a little bit. But the one guy to watch, it's a very good story, Victor Svedberg. He's a towering, imposing guy. He's almost as tall as Chara. Not as heavy and not anywhere near as mean, but he's a big, rangy guy. So he's probably going to be another one that's going to get elevated minutes because of this.
And if you're looking for a high-octane offense, now we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I think one goal was scored that night, but I think we'll see more than one tonight.
Well, in Pitt, you should. I mean, they're going to try to air it out. Dallas have been on the road a little bit here, but they're feeling obviously very good about themselves. The Dallas Stars are a fun team to watch. They really are. I think Jimmy Neal and Lindy Ruff have done a real nice job down there. The biggest thing is that they're starting to tighten up a little bit defensively, which will help them. And I like the goalie tandem because I think Niemi really pushes Leighton, and so that's good news for them. That'll be a good game. That'll be a fun one to watch. That's one I'm looking forward to watching, actually.
I would imagine you're thrilled that Pascal Dupree is making his season debut.
Yeah, one of the nicest guys in the league. breaks my heart when I think about, you know, how close he was to coming back, and then he couldn't, and now he's going to come back, so I'm really happy for him on that. One of the ultimate gentlemen in the league. Just tell you, anybody that's got a chance to spend 5 minutes with that guy, you'll feel a whole lot better about life after you talk to him. He's just a great guy.
Pierre McGuire back tomorrow to preview the Canadiens against Jack Eichel and the Sabres in Buffalo tomorrow night right here on TSN 690. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5:05.
I have one question for you before I depart.
Sure.
Have you guys talked at all about Zach Rinaldo?
Yes. In fact, before you came on, Gallo mentioned that he would not be suspended, and right. I said he will be suspended. It won't be for that play, but he will be suspended before they meet in the Outdoor Classic. Right? I mean, he's got no leash whatsoever this season.
Oh, boy. I was really surprised that he didn't get anything for that. I mean, he got the game last night. He got 5-10 in a game, but nothing further. I was really surprised. Based on what we had seen in other situations, but again, you know what? It's going to be interesting because now I think a lot of teams are looking at that saying, whoa, what's a suspension and what's not?
Yeah, it was a high hit at the end of the period on Sean Couturier.
Yeah, when I was watching it, Pierre, my first instinct is to ask why. Why make that play? He's not separating the guy from the puck. The guy's in a
hurt.
He doesn't see him coming.
He was hitting the hurt. I mean, that's very apparent. He knew how much time was on the clock. And Couturier didn't have the puck. You heard what I said. It was a predatory hit that was late on an unsuspecting player.
That's why he will be suspended.
Not this time.
It'll be a makeup call. Thanks, Pierre.
All right. Have a good one. Take care.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.